Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into our Memorial Day service. We're just so thankful to be here. We recognize that many people are on vacation today, and that's okay because we're here to hear the Word of God. So much going on. Pastor Ken, you want to say hello? And
good morning, everyone. I know we're all here for the same reason, to connect with God. And the reason that we start the service with worship like that is to get our hearts in a place to connect with God. And you know what? God can show up at any time, at any place, and he doesn't show up by appointment necessarily. So it can be, let's open up our hearts today to say, hey, we're not here just to connect with one another, but perhaps the Holy Spirit can do a work in our hearts today.
Yes. Most of you know by now, Vanessa's here today, but most of you know that Matt was, and RB, their dog, was attacked by a pit bull the other night, and that the dog, RB, is injured, and Matt also was injured and continues to have treatment, but he is going to be okay, but he was very hurt during that attack. So we're just so thankful to God. We are so thankful. Please continue to pray for Matt. He's going back to the hospital today, isn't he, for the third day. So, pray against infection and that his wounds heal as they should heal and that this situation is taken care of so that someone else does not get hurt. So we're so glad that you're here today. And the message we have is that God is a covenant-keeping God. And that's important because we live in this world. It's not a safe place. And I just want to talk a minute about the events of this week that were oh so heartbreaking. We have teachers here. And if we learn nothing else from this tragedy, we need to learn the lesson that we need God every second of every day, whether we know it or not. And we can go on and talk about how evil committed this horrible act and this young man. But I'll be honest and tell you that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be distracted and talk about guns and talk about this and talk about how are we going to do this and that. But it gets your focus off. He's the one to blame. He is the problem and Jesus is the answer. And even this young man was actually a victim, you know, in a manner of speaking. So, you know, we have to be diligent. So I'm going to begin by reading you a verse from 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, alert, and stay awake. Your adversary, this is very personal. The devil has a personal vendetta against you. Your adversary, the devil, the word names him, he roams about like a lion seeking whomever is available that he may devour them. Your enemy is not a person. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which simply means spirits. Angelos is the word. In high places, in places of government, in high places, there is wickedness. Let me tell you something. The enemy knows his time is short, and he is working overtime while we are working part-time. And people are playing church, and we must get serious about God and the things of God. If we humble ourselves and pray, things can change. You know, of course we use wisdom, but, you know, several people asked me this question, how could this possibly have happened? And one of the things that came to my heart was when people see something and they don't speak up, I'm telling you, that's why we need to speak the word. And we're speaking up today. We need Jesus. That's what we're doing. And being alert and staying. You know, I had an interesting situation. I was telling Frida that in a month or so, I'm going to have double eye surgery on my eyes, and the doctor's going to open up my eyes. And he said to me these words. He said, a whole new world is going to become available to you. Your eyes are going to be large, and you're going to see things you just can't imagine. And as he said that, I prayed, Lord, open also my spiritual eyes and keep me aware and alert that I might see things that I need to see. And so we need to, and also I want to address one more little issue, and I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken, and he's going to talk about covenant. But I've had people tell me since this event happened, I may not come to church. I may not feel safe. May I tell you that the devil goes to your grocery store and your work? Are we really that dumb? Come on now. Come on now. He don't like church so much, just FYI. He kind of likes the grocery store and your job a little better. I'm just telling you, we have to use wisdom, but don't ever let the enemy keep you from God or his house or doing the will of God. Don't let him back you in a corner. You know, we have the promise of covenant, Pastor Ken. We have the promise that God has made, and he will never break his promise even when we do. So Pastor Ken's going to share a little bit here.
Well, and we are going to talk about fear a little bit later on in the message, because I was thinking about a time that one man caused the entire army of Israel to cower in fear. Mm-hmm. His name was Goliath, and they were all like, I ain't touching that, you know. And we are going to talk about fear a little bit later, but I just want to plant the seed. All fear, no matter what we're afraid of, is based on a lack of trust of God. That we can't trust God. And does anyone really believe that Satan is stronger than the power of God? Does anyone believe that if Satan wants to take you out today before your time, that he can? Didn't he try that with Moses? What was it, time for Moses? Moses was rescued and he ended up getting raised in the palace. What about Jesus? Weren't the children being killed? You know, they were trying to kill the Messiah. What about when Jesus was an adult and Satan tried to kill him and it wasn't his time? What about when Satan said, hey, Jesus, I got an idea. Why don't you jump? Because, you know, let me quote some scripture here. The angels will be in charge of you. But the problem was that scripture applies when it's not your time. When it's not your time, the angels are going to protect you. So you quoted that says that your enemy is like a lion. Mm-hmm. Notice, like a lion. For Halloween, I could dress up like a lion, right? I can whatever costume you want to wear. You're like, I'm dressed like a doctor. I'm dressed like a lion. I'm a wolf, whatever. Being in a costume, a wolf costume, doesn't make you a wolf. And being roaring like a lion doesn't make you the lion, because let me tell you about, there is a lion, but it's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and I guarantee you, he doesn't have to roar like a lion. He is that lion. And I always love, and I think I've quoted this recently, but C.S. Lewis, when he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Jesus was represented by this mighty lion. And one of the characters says, to be honest with you, he kind of frightens me. And he says, he's supposed to. He's a lion. You know, there's that fear of God that we see all through the Bible, but we also see the gentleness and love. It's the same thing. So as I've pointed out a million times, you could go into a cave that light has not shone for 1,000 years. And you could say darkness has really taken over that cave. How long would it take you to light up that place? After 1,000 years of darkness now, you got to push back 1,000 years with your flashlight. It'd be pretty hard for that flashlight to work, right? Nope. Light always wins. Light always defeats darkness. And the anointing does what? It breaks the yoke of fear. What I like is, in the Bible, that Goliath, when he faced David, that David ran towards the enemy. So many examples I could give you, but that'll just give you that one, where the children of God that were engaging the enemy ran towards the enemy. Willie mentioned military. Let me tell you, in the military, when you hear gunfire, you don't go, everyone hide. It's charge. It's the military goes towards the firemen, right? The firemen don't hide out in the firehouse and say, we'll just surround the fire, you know, and contain it. Nope. The firemen run in. They attack the fire. The enemy is not supposed to be running towards you. If the enemy is running after you, you need to stop, do an about face, pull out your sword, start speaking the word, and you know what will happen? The enemy will go, uh-oh, and start running away from you. You need to be the one pursuing the enemy, not the enemy pursuing you. Say, but I'm scared. Hey, you need the word. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Oh, but I'm scared. But the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. All right, I'm about to preach here. And here's the simplicity of it. Because you might say, oh, I'm not a warrior type. You're not supposed to be a warrior type. Some of the greatest warriors in the kingdom of God were 5'2", 70 years old, on their knees praying down revival. Paul, I know, but who are you? The devil knows some people's names. And we need to be making headlines in hell. We need to be swinging over hell. That's what my old pastor used to say, it, that you have to engage the enemy. So here's how it's simple. So you know, all this war talk makes it complicated. Abraham, and the Bible, the New Testament says this three times. The Old Testament talks about it. But this must be important if the New Testament keeps talking about it. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, because here's the misconception. To be a great person of faith, you would have to be an intellect, and you would have to know Greek and Hebrew, and you would have to know the original Latin. There was no original Latin, but you would have to be like a scholar. Then you would have great faith. And Jesus would say to you, if you could be like a little child that just trusted that their dad was going to take care of them. That's the simplicity of Abraham. It didn't say Abraham went to Bible school and was a great scholar. He just believed God. Think how simple that is. Is there someone in your life, if you have had a parent, a mom or a dad, that you believed 100%, if they told you they were going to do something, they did it. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That if your dad said, we're going to do this or I'm going to do that, it was done. If dad said you could do it, it was over. If you got that, if the Father says it, it's going to happen. And so faith doesn't have to be complicated. You want a complicated definition of faith? I'm sure you could get one. But the simple definition that an 8-year-old would understand, just trusting God. And did God give you promises to trust? So many fear nots. So many I will be with you. So many I will protect you. I'll never leave you. Over and over, God has promised. And I think that God likes to put us in situations that challenges your faith, that it doesn't look like it's working, just to see if you'll just stand there and go, I know what it looks like, but God said that. I'll share. I've shared this a million times before, but this is my example of trusting God. When I was in Bible school, they called me to the office and say, you have a bill that's due. And I called my dad and I said, because he was helping me with Bible school, and he said, no, I paid that. He goes, the bill is paid. So I got in line, and the lady said to me, the bill has not been paid. Now, she was the person in front of a computer looking at it, and she said, our records show the bill was not paid. Do you know how much that shook me? Not at all. I had just talked to a man that told me the bill is paid. The fact that someone is telling you it's not paid, if your father said he'll provide, he'll provide. If your father said he'd be there, he'll be there. And, of course, you know the end of the story. Of course the bill was paid. Why? Because I have the word of a man that would not lie. And how much more? God is not like a human being that he should ever lie. Let every man be a liar. Let God be the truth.
Good morning again. Let me read a scripture to you, Psalm 20 and 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They who do not trust in the Lord our God are brought to their knees and fall, but we stand, we rise up and we stand up. If only we would rise up and take our authority against the enemy. That's not always easy, but I wanted to share with you, some of you have probably seen this. You can look it up on YouTube. I showed it to my mom the other day. It's the story of a lady, and you may have seen it, where an intruder comes in her store and he has a loaded gun and he starts waving the gun around and saying, you know, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, everybody on the floor, everybody on the floor. And she is the owner of the store and she is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. She doesn't trust in chariots or horses, but in the name of the Lord our God, the name is all powerful. And she pointed her finger at him and she kept saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get out, get out, get out. This is my store. She comes around the counter. People are looking. She's like, get out of here. And he starts backing out. He literally backs out of the store. The enemy is not used to you taking your authority. He's used to you. And I was sharing how, and I think Ken was at the house when I was sharing this, that many years ago, Patsy and I took a self-defense class led by the FBI. And in that class, they told us if a gunman ever does come in and he has a gun, that can be a scary thing. It's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay for fear to have you because that's a spirit of fear. Don't let the fear control you, in other words. You may be afraid, but don't let that control you or your actions. So what they told us is if someone comes in with a gun and tells you all, lay on the floor, you're not to be compliant. You're to kick, scream, throw chairs, do whatever you have to do. Do not submit. And that's something that has stuck with me all of these years since we did that when Tammy and Amanda were in high school. Do not submit to the enemy with the gun because it's hard to hit a moving target. Move. Move it. Move it. And take your authority. Be not defensive, offensive, because that's offensive when someone's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But we don't trust. So many people trust in the weapons of this world, the things like horses. A horse can't save you. A chariot that a man created can't save you. But why is it, I'm going to say this again, why is it we trust the pew to hold us up or the chair, but we don't trust God to uphold us? Why is it that we so easily trust the things of this world without a second thought? God's promises, I believe, are true, yes and amen, and he is true to his covenant. If anybody fails, and I like the example of the lion, that Satan comes like a roaring lion, but the Bible says something else. Satan comes like a roaring lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah roars as a lion. There is a difference. He truly is the lion. And covenant is, I want to take 2 minutes to explain to you what covenant is, because we talk about covenant, covenant, and people are like, what is that? It's just a promise. No, it's not. And it's not a contract. There is a huge difference between a contract and a covenant, and I want to explain that. A covenant is based on the integrity of the people who enter it. It is a sacred agreement. It is not an agreement. It's a sacred agreement. A covenant is never between strangers. If you go to a car dealer, you enter into a contract. I will give you this car, and you will pay for this car monthly. A covenant, and this is the difference, and you need to remember this all your life. This is the difference in why a covenant is greater. It means to cut where blood flows. It is between two people pledging to each other. When I enter a contract at the car dealer, I am not promising to love him, to honor him, to protect him, or stay with him all of my life. I am entering into a contract. I do this, you do this. A covenant is an agreement between two people. It is intimate, it is sacred, it is holy, and it is something you cut a covenant. And Pastor Ken's going to talk about Abraham. But marriage is the best example I can give you of a covenant. You don't marry or enter, and by the way, this is a problem in our land, just FYI. People think that marriage is a contract, and I can get out of it. I can just break it anytime I want. That's not true. Marriage is a covenant, and that's why divorce hurts so much. It's a covenant you enter into because there is blood. And people come to an altar thinking that license is a contract and you can just break it. That is not true. I love that God is a covenant-keeping God and that he keeps covenant even when we break covenant. That he's promised to love us forever. Now, what if I say, I'm going to love you forever, but what if I don't? Then I've broken the covenant agreement and I'm going to suffer the consequences. But guess who's not going to break it? God's not going to break the covenant. And I don't fear any man or any, I don't fear that I'm at danger. I like what my daughter said one time when she stood up here to testify during COVID. She said, the reality is that there's a time to be born and a time to die. And I will not die 1 second before the appointed time because the enemy can't take me out. I don't belong to him. I am blood bought. I am blood protected. I don't have to be afraid. Just like that woman at the jewelry store, we don't have to be afraid. And we can even protect. You know what? I thought about that later, about that woman. Why didn't you just run or hide? You know what? You don't even have to give up your things to the enemy. She could, I mean, it was her life. She risked her life, but those were her things. Like Ken talks about in the Bible, these are not your beans. These are not your lentils. You can't have them. Debbie's going to use them to make soup for me. You can't have the lentils.
So I want to talk about fear for a few minutes. Obviously, some fear is good. If you're walking next to a cliff, you should be careful. You should take precautions. Be alert. I don't, if someone asks me if I have a fear of heights, and this is going to sound like a joke, but I don't mean it to be. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of falling. Okay. Now, and let me show you why someone might say, are you afraid of heights or are you not? If I had to climb a ladder to that light, I would not feel comfortable. But on the other hand, I feel completely comfortable in an airplane doing aerobatics. It's not heights I'm afraid of. I'm sitting in a chair, and even with that airplane, I don't just say whatever. I'm not going to take any precautions. I put fuel in the plane. I do the things I know to do. I know what speeds I can go. I know what speeds I can go over and what speeds I can't go over. Having known that within the limitations, I'm fine with going upside down. I'm fine with rolling the plane. I'm fine with diving towards the ground. It doesn't cause any fear because I'm not. So that's the kind of fear the enemy, the kind of fear the enemy has is not common sense fear. Have you ever noticed about many things that people are afraid of is made up things? Things that almost don't exist. There's people that have been afraid of things that are made of plastic. The phobias that people can have, there's too many to name. There's thousands of them. And I had asked Pam to include this verse because I always think about this when I think of fear. The book of Proverbs, and this is Proverbs 22. The sluggard said, you know, there's a lion outside. I will be killed in the city streets. So what Proverbs is talking about is having your 12 locks on your door and having hiding under your covers and never going out, never doing anything because of fear. That's a paralyzing fear. And as Pam said, people will use that to shut down their whole life. And then they're not living anymore. Then they're just, you know, they're living their life in a tank or something. But what place are we supposed to give to the enemy? Give him no place. You know, when Pam was talking about the very practical, and we've talked about this before in the natural, but it applies supernaturally and spiritually too. If someone was going to kidnap you, mm-hmm. and they say, get in the car or I'm going to hit you, you might think, well, the smart move is to get in the car. But any law enforcement would tell you, the more you do what the enemy says, the more he is getting you under his control. Now, if you don't want to get hit in the face, put your hands behind your back and let me tie your hands. You go, I better do that. You just let the enemy tie your hands. Now he has. Now he wants you to get in the car. Maybe I should do that. Now he's even. He wants to get you in a place where you have no control. See spiritually how the enemy will tie you up more and more and control you more and more. Give. You need to say no. You need to say no, and you need to give no place to the enemy, and you need to fight so you don't get in deeper. Again, the enemy needs to be running from you, not you from the enemy. I believe that God is in control. And if fear is a failure to trust God, and it is, every one of the Ten Commandments is a failure to trust God. How is stealing a failure to trust God? You don't think God can meet your needs, so you steal. All of those things, if you think about it, is a failure to trust God somehow in one area or another of your life. So let's go to fears that are insane. Do you know that some people are afraid of shadows? Yes. Some people are afraid of dolls. I mean, I could name anything. But think about it when you're afraid of, oh, that doll is creepy. It's plastic. Someone's insane. I mean, you're afraid of a piece of plastic. People are afraid of the dark because there could be things hiding in the dark, supernatural things. Really? I mean, really? What movies are you watching? You know? And again, Hollywood will tell you that the power of darkness is amazing, but that's not what we read in the Bible. People can be afraid of water. They can be of storms. They can be afraid of noises. They can be afraid of other people. And it can be fear of things that don't exist. And here's Goliath marching up and down. Anybody? Come on, anybody? And they were, think about it. These were soldiers with training. And they were all, nope, not going to do it. But what was, come on, what's the difference between all those soldiers and this boy? What is the difference? He did not think he could defeat Goliath, but he thought God could. He thought he was going with God. How do you know that? Because what he was saying, you've defied the army. You are an uncircumcised Philistine. You're not part of the covenant. Covenant means to cut where blood flows. We are circumcised. We are part of the covenant. Come on. And he ran towards Goliath. And what he was saying to Goliath, and I like to think of this. Everyone's watching. Both sides are watching. And I love the backstory. I love that David says, I'm going to fight. I love that he tries on the armor, and the armor's way too big for him. He doesn't know. It's like, get rid of this stuff. Give me, I'll defeat this guy the way I protect sheep. You know, just give me my slingshot because I'm pretty good with it. But I love that everyone's watching. And the odds makers is, you know, it's 100-1 on Goliath. He's going to crush this kid. This isn't even fair. And so the armies of the Philistines are saying, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's running. Well, I knew he would. No, he's not running away. He's running towards Goliath. Everyone be quiet. Be quiet. What is he saying? Goliath, I am going to cut your head off. That's David. He's running towards him with a slingshot without a sword, saying, what David meant to do was take Goliath's sword from him. So he's saying, I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword. Come on. When I was an attorney, and there was these two motorcycle gangs, and they were some rough people. I mean, this wasn't just weekend people. This was a lifestyle. These were outlaws and stuff, and they were really into it with one another. And the guys told me, they said, it's gotten serious, Ken, because everyone's carrying weapons, and we've got protection for our guys. And all the guys, they had names like Animal Destruction. So, and they're like, we got Animal taken. Anyway, they're telling me all this, and they said, we had to put out a BOS on the other gang. And I said, you put out a BOS. I said, what is a BOS? Yeah, Pam, it stands for Beat on Sight. It means that anywhere you are, if you're at the opera and you see one of the other members, you have to immediately go start stomping on them. It's an immediate go to war, no matter where you are. You're in the jewel, you're in the bank, you know, you're at a wedding and you see someone, you have to immediately engage them. And that's our attitude that needs to be towards Satan, that we have a BOS out on him, that anytime he says yes, we say no, that we push, as Pam said about the field of beans, it was a field of beans. The Philistines wanted the beans. It's just beans. Let them have it. Nope. Those are my beans, and you can have them when you pry them out of my hands. You know, and he defended the beans. He gave no place to the enemy. So don't let fear paralyze your heart. Let faith energize you to be the spirit of David, to have that spirit. And one more David secret, and of course, there's nothing new here, but just to remind you, David had already been anointed with oil. He already had the word from God that he would be king. So he went there in faith against Goliath.
So very, very true. So what makes us different? What is going to keep us safe when other people, when 1,000 are falling at our side and 10,000 at our right side? How are we? What's our plan to stay safe? And it absolutely is the blood. But here's a statement that I want to make. Just Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood, as precious as that is and as powerful as that is not enough. It's just not enough. We have to apply the blood. Had the blood not been applied to the doorpost, and by the way, the blood was on the sides of the doorpost and the top. It was not on the bottom of the floor. You'd never, ever trample the blood. A little bit of history. Did you know that in way, 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 way back in history, in the days prior to Civil War, that many churches had red doors? You'll see pictures, red doors, symbolic of the blood that was applied to the doorpost. And, you know, I love it when we come here and at prayer time, we'll pray for all the seats and anoint the church and anoint the, you know, the difference is that we have applied the blood. The difference isn't that I have A negative blood. It's that I have type J blood, Jesus, the blood that Jesus shed, that we are literally protected by the blood from head to toe. In Israel, by command of Pharaoh. Think about this. Under the rule of Pharaoh, a type of enemy, everybody was going to die anyway. Everybody was being abused, right? Everyone was being beaten. Everyone was under the control of the enemy. And the only thing that got them out was the blood. It was not Moses that got them out. It was the blood that kept them safe and alive and got them out. And that's what gets us out from under the rule of the enemy. That's what makes us different, keeps us safe. That's what keeps us healthy and well. Knowing my life, I believe, changed when I had a revelation of the covenant that I have with Christ, that the authority that we have in Christ, much of which we have not accessed or taken, but we should, we absolutely should. And we don't have to fear anything. You don't even have to fear hell. You know, the enemy, I can remember someone telling me I'm going to hell one time. Said, you're going to hell. And I just kind of shook my head and I thought, you have no idea who I am. You have no clue who I am. I'm blood bought. I'm word taught. We are not going to hell. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. It is the story of David. And by the way, may I mention that there were more than one giant? You may face more than one giant because Goliath has brothers, but those giants are defeated too. Those giants are defeated too because you are anointed by God, and you are also appointed by God for such a time as this. I love David saying, who is this, and by the way, when David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He knew very well what his name was. He knew very well everybody in the land, Goliath, 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 Goliath. He was being condescending to him. He was in essence saying, I don't care what your name is. Who is this uncut, with no blood ever being shed, no covenant Philistine coming at me? What's this all about? You're not even cut. You don't even have a covenant. There's nobody to protect you. And he gave that speech, which was a powerful speech. But Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our rock, and we are protected by the blood. And the word is sozos. And sozos, I can't even tell you how powerful that word is. The word sozos means to save, to keep safe, to save you from suffering, to save you from disease, to save you from danger, to save you from destruction, and most of all, and most powerfully, to save you and deliver you from the penalties of the messianic punishment, which is judgment of sin. So can you trust him with your life? Why do I trust Jesus with my life? Simply because he gave his life for mine. I can trust someone like that. Can you trust someone who laid down their life to save you? Do you remember the stories of the teachers the other day who laid on their students to protect them, that surrendered their life? Let me tell you something. I know you don't have to tell me anything else about who those teachers were. What were they like? Were they evil? Were they wicked people? They laid down their life. I know exactly who they are, and that's Jesus. He laid down his life for us when he didn't have to. At any time, he could have turned back. At any time, he could have called 10,000 angels. With every step, it was a love step that he took to the cross, and he carried through, even ministering on the cross. And I am so thankful for the protection of God.
So a couple of things to take home with you from today. And we kind of had to go over it quick, but it's a powerful thought. And that is that covenant is not just a contract. It's not just an agreement. It's not just a handshake. It is the most holy agreement you can enter into. And God understood that. And in the book of Genesis, I was going to read it, but I found something else. When God entered covenant with Abraham, they cut the animals in half. So we have bloodshed. But it was kind of like saying, if anyone breaks this covenant, this is what happens to you. This is a serious thing. But Abraham was not really qualified to enter this covenant. So God caused a very deep sleep to fall on Abraham. And this is such an, if you can imagine this in your mind, that darkness falls and it's just dark. And Abraham falls asleep. And in the middle of this darkness, these animals that have been cut in half are laid out, and God himself shows up in the form of a smoking oven and a flaming torch, and God walks through that path of blood. It's powerful. I don't even understand all the significance of it, but that was the covenant. That's how God made covenant with Abraham, is by doing that. But Jesus as a flaming torch on earth at the time of Abraham, walking the covenant. Oh my goodness, that's powerful. But what I wanted to do, the reason I decided to not go there today, even though I talked about it, is when Jesus was born and was on the earth, there was a woman. And I want you to put yourself in her shoes. There was a woman who had a spirit of sickness for 18 years. So maybe some of you can relate. You may have some things you've been dealing with a very long time. Her problem was her skeletal muscular. She was bent over, it says, and she couldn't lift herself up. So I'm guessing something to do with, you know, whatever. I don't know. You all know better than me. But anyway, so she can't stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, compassion of Jesus, he knows the condition you're in. He knows if you're hurting. He called her to him. How beautiful is that? I love that thought, when God calls your name. Come on, when God calls your name. Frida, it's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it what you heard, that God called your name? Frida said she heard God call her name. Come on, and think of Mary getting her name called out. Think of Gideon I was asking you to read my mind. Who am I thinking of, Pam? Pam, who am I thinking of? She could in no way raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her, and he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. So praise God, but that's not the part of the story I want you to see. But how can there be a but to this story? This wonderful healing, how come it doesn't say, and everybody rejoiced? But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, Oh, how dare you do that? Because, Jesus, are you kidding me? It's the Sabbath. You don't care about the Sabbath? There are six, Jesus said there are 6 days on which to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered and said, hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or donkey from the earth and lead it to water it? Now, this argument is the whole reason I brought you here. This, what Jesus is going to say next, is the whole point of it. We have a covenant that goes back to the time of Abraham. And by the way, the New Testament says, if we are Christ, then we are part of the covenant. We are heirs. You are part of that Abrahamic covenant. Now, you're also part of a better covenant, but you want to trace your covenant. You can actually go to Noah if you want to. You can trace the covenant God made with Noah, the covenant that the promise, actually, you can go to Adam and Eve where he gives them a promise that through the seed of Eve that the snake that would be crushed. So we see a promise of the Messiah there. But all through all those covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Isaac covenant, the covenant that God made, it is our covenant. It is belongs to us. And Jesus is about to make that argument because they're like, how dare you heal this woman? And Jesus says, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? He said, don't you understand? She's part of this covenant. And she is entitled to this. And that means he makes the same argument for you. He would say, ought not this woman being part of the blood covenant that I sealed on the cross, ought she not to be healed? So Jesus didn't care that all the religious leaders said, no, she can't be healed. No, she can't. Jesus said, I don't care. I'm going to do it because I'm the healer. You're not.
Yes. I want to do something just for a minute. Pastor Ken's going to stand up. We're going to stand up and do something. I just want to talk about this Abrahamic thing for a while, for a minute. I studied covenant last night and the Abrahamic thing. And they did this often. They did it frequently. People would enter into covenant, whether it be marriage or whether it be a covenant between people of religion. And they would cut the animals, just like Pastor Ken explained to you, they would cut them in half and there would be blood everywhere. There would be animals on this side and there would be animals on that side. And then he's going to be God and I'm going to be Abraham or whomever, a regular person. And there's blood everywhere. And what they say in the presence of witnesses, they say, if either one of you two break this covenant, that's going to happen to you. We're going to cut you. You're going to be killed. So then they would walk by each other, and they would switch sides, and they would look at the animals. They would study the animals and look at the animals and tell them, do you understand what's going to happen to you? Yes, I'm going to be faithful to him. He's going to be faithful to me. It's serious. Here's what happened. Abraham represented you and I. He was unfaithful. We all are unfaithful. And so it's like, now what's going to happen to me? I'm going to have to get cut, right? That's what the law says. That's what the law said. Sin is death. So I have to be cut. Here's what God said. It's okay, don't worry. I'll cut myself instead. Do you know how powerful that is? That God said, no. I'm going to let you off. They didn't let people off under the law. Did you know that? You don't get off free. You break covenant. It doesn't matter. We will stone you. We will cut you. You broke covenant. You were unfaithful. But God comes along and says, let me make covenant. That's why it's the Abrahamic covenant, and it belongs to all of us because he represented each and every one of us. And we broke the covenant just like Abraham did, and God stepped in and said, you don't have to get cut. Watch this. I'm going to cut myself instead. thank you, Jesus. I just thought it's the most amazing picture. I never understood it like I do now after studying it. Like, are you kidding me? That's what it was all about? That's the picture you're trying to give us? Is that you made a promise that you didn't keep at all. You deserve to die. But instead, I'm going to die for you. I just thought it was so powerful. And I thought, hey.
I think it's, well, so what do we have? We have service tonight.
Yes, yes we do. And Maribel will be bringing the word of God.
Praise God. And what are we doing tomorrow night? Tomorrow night is canceled.
Sorry.
Tomorrow night is canceled. Well, I'm glad I brought that out. Last thing I'll tell you, and then we'll pray, is God tells us to consider the ants, right? He consider his creation. So I want you to consider bees for a second. They are a picture. A bee, when the beehive is attacked, what happens? You know what happens. They like ring the fire alarm. We are under attack. And what happens? The entire hive goes to war, don't they? You got a wasp or something, they swarm and they go to war. And that's what we need to do against the enemy. That's what we need to do with one another. We need to go to war against the enemy. And it can be simple. When Peter was in prison, the church came together and they prayed. Peter got out of prison. That's the formula. The early church learned one thing, the power of prayer. So we're gonna pray today. I want to pray against fear. Whatever fear you have that's unreasonable. If you have a reasonable fear, okay, it's reasonable. But if you have if you're afraid of the dark, if you're afraid of dying, if you're afraid of poverty, if you're afraid of being alone, all those things are based on lies of the enemy. Well, I'm afraid of being alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. How could you be alone? The Holy Spirit's a comforter. How could you be alone? He said he's got a family for you. You're never going to be alone. So and it reminded me of when sometimes we just have to speak the truth. I heard someone was at a prayer line one time and they said, Pastor, help me, I'm losing my mind. And the pastor said, is that the truth? Is that the truth that you're losing your mind? Or is it the truth that you've been given the mind of Jesus Christ? So sometimes we need the truth of the word. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you are a covenant-keeping God. And you establish the covenant that we all walk and stand in and live in. That's our covenant. There's the old covenant. There's the new covenant. There's the better covenant that we are part of. We're part of what you did all those years ago when Jesus himself said, Abraham, you've got to sleep this one off because I'll walk through the animals. I'll be the one that's cut. And we see that fiery torch gliding, walking through the scene of destruction. And then years later, we see Jesus himself willingly, not being put on a cross, but willingly agreeing to go, agreeing to sacrifice his life and to cut. We see the cutting where the blood flowed, and the blood flowed. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that means salvation. Thank you for the blood that means we're saved. We're saved from the enemy. And Father, I ask you to remove fear, unreasonable fears, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I come against unreasonable fears. I come against paralyzing fears. Lord, replace that fear with faith. Replace that fear with the heart of David. How dare you come against the army of the living God, you uncircumcised Philistine. Thank you, God, that you give us that kind of faith, that kind of ability to say the name of Jesus is above all names. And so we speak the name of Jesus over our lives. I pray for protection for our families. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus spiritually over our homes right now. and over our cars right now, Father God, over this church right now. But more importantly, we put it on our forehead, over our minds. Lord, may the blood of Jesus filter everything we do. Over our hearts, Father God, give us the courage. Father, we love you. We choose you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.